Well, good morning. Today is Sunday, June 3rd, 2018. And we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12, verses 10, verses 11, and verses 10. And in that order, we're going to work them a little backwards. Paul wrote this letter to the church at Ephesus. And at that time, he was a prisoner in Rome. His life was set apart to serve his Lord. He was so totally dedicated for the believers to know and live God's word. And not only did he want them to enjoy all that Jesus Christ did for them, but even more so that they were not overcome by God's enemy. And he warned in 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Satan's purposes are evil. He is a ruthless, relentless foe. He is a destructive force. He shows no mercy, amidst all his evil, he is sly and he can even transform himself into something that looks fairly good. It's a counterfeit light. But Paul made it clear in Ephesians 6:12, he said, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So it's spiritual wickedness in high places. It's not, physical. We do live in these bodies of flesh and blood, and we do have talents and disciplines, but, those things can serve us well in life. But when it comes to warfare, when it comes to the weapons that are necessary, 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. And that goes so beautifully with verse 12 of Ephesians 6, because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. So if we don't war after the flesh, then it goes on in 2 Corinthians 10:4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not earthly. They're not human. They're not physical, but mighty through God to the pulling down or the destruction, the demolition of strongholds. And strongholds are fortresses. Figuratively, pulling down means extinction. It's just, that's it. We all hear the different calls from the people who try to preserve nature. We're on the brink of extinction, so we have to nurture some bird or some animal. Well, extinction means it's no more. Strongholds refer to any confidence in the flesh that would impede our progress in trusting the Lord more and more. So our weapons are not carnal. Now, there is enjoyment in life due to our achievements, but we do not depend on the strength of our education, our wealth, our appearance, our personality types. You hear so much about personality types, and that's going to determine how far you go in life. Or our family's heritage. How about that? Well, No. Our strength is derived from God alone. Any confidence in the flesh is going to go down at some point. It's going to fail because it's not flesh and blood situation. These false confidences then become our fortresses because we don't see the error in trusting in them. Well, I don't need God here because I'm really strong. I'm so naturally strong in this category of life. That's a fortress right there. That is a fortress because we are only strong in the Lord. It can serve you well to a point, but those things will get wiped out. When you consider the world today and all that goes on, there's prejudices, there's adamant opinions out there a dime a dozen. The whole world is entrenched and fortified against the power of God and His might. The world is fortified against it. There's umpteen reasons since Sunday why you do not need those things. And it really is the workings of Antichrist. Anything to keep us. So fortresses of air precisely in place. They litter the way. Remember we talked about narrow is the gate, wide is the way. Well, they litter that area so that we have trouble getting in through that door to get to all the richness and the wealth of the spiritual kingdom. So it makes it narrow and difficult to get to the kingdom of God. It's sort of like air is just strewn around like a junkyard. You know, there's some things that are kind of fascinating. Oh my gosh, look at that beautiful Mercedes. Or, oh, look over here. And then here's a piece of junk. It's distracting. It's confusing because it's just junk. It's just there. There's not much order to it. We can be divinely powerful through God to the annihilation of these fortresses. These strongholds can be put into ruins by our spiritual power and might, but only through the power and might of our God. Psalm says in 33, verse 16, it starts, "There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength." Think of the material resources of a king. Wow. "An horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that love him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee." Paul tells the beloved ones who lived in Ephesus how they can be safe from the satanic attacks. Because Satan is a defeated enemy. Period. End of sentence. That is the case. Case closed. He was defeated by the accomplishments, the works of Jesus Christ. He comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, but Christ came that we might have life and that we might have it above the ordinary measure. 1 John 4:4 tells us, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." So we're always remembering. I know Larry's focus recently, even mine, has been so much. It is God in Christ in you. That is the love, the power, and the might that is in each child of God. The devil could only wish that you did not know that verse. And yet there are many who don't. And that's part of what Paul did. That's part of what Paul's fervent desire was for the believers, to enable them with knowledge and understanding and guide them and help them. So, but we do know that he is defeated and we have spiritual weapons. Ephesians 6:11, going back a verse, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." So Paul was in prison. He was around a lot of Roman soldiers. He certainly would have been familiar with the appearances of the soldier's armor. He would have had memories of wars in his past, where fortresses were destroyed and prisoners were taken captive. Paul's material and physical abilities outshine most, that's for sure. He did not fall off a turnip truck. He did not. He was a brilliant man. He was educated. He was strong. And certainly strong mentally. He was so strong. He was passionate. He had great fervor, great dedication, great focus of his service to God. Yet he so regarded God's power and might as the necessity of his life, and he endeavored to impart that to others. Paul would have also been familiar with Isaiah 59, where Isaiah mentions the breastplate of righteousness. He talks about the helmet of salvation. You know, these terms weren't unfamiliar to him, both in the national arena of security for the countries, nor were they foreign to him in his terms of studying God's word. So in verses 13 through 17 of Ephesians 6, it goes into specifics about the armor of God. And this is going to kind of set the stage where we can get into those verses in weeks to come. Maybe not consecutive weeks, but we will take pieces of the armor and go through those. The fact is, Ephesians is bursting with teaching, encouragement, and clear instruction on how to think correctly and therefore live victoriously. He lays it all out. He doesn't omit one thing. He covers God's grace, God's unconditional love, our pitiful state before Christ, the one body, the whole armor of God, and most especially the believers knowing God's love to the point that they relied on nothing but God's power and might. He speaks of the importance of prayer. He addresses every relationship that we could have in the material realm with other human beings. And he helps us navigate all of those relationships. So his prayers for the believers throughout Ephesians, they were so tender. And they were really full of expectations for us to know and understand God's love, his power, and his might. Ephesians overflows with God's love. It overflows with the love of our Lord. But most especially we see, as Paul shares in his own words, the truth that God would have him record. It was so obvious that of Paul's love for God, his love for Christ, his love that he learned to accept for himself, and of course, his love for the brethren. And in Ephesians 6:10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." So Paul didn't simply say here in this closing summation, "Okay, guys, keep your chin up." You know, that wasn't his message at all. He was confident. He was definitive as he closes out his letter to the Ephesians. This was a very serious topic to his heart, and he knew the ferociousness of the enemy and the strongholds that people have in their erroneous thinking. They can be very subtle, very, very tricky. And the biggest thing that helps us is knowing the scripture, because that's what separates it out. Those strongholds, they're logical, they're simple, they're clear, they're straightforward. You've got the proof in your experiential life to document it, but then it's still a stronghold when all of your resources and all of your talents are not in light of trusting God to direct your steps, they are going to fail. So he brought his message to a grand conclusion and he really did it in a crystal clear manner. It was not a casual, love ya, bless ya, not that kind of thing at all. He was not timid ever in his concern for God's beloved ones. So he tells them, be strong in the Lord. He told them what to do, and he told them where to get what they need. Be strengthened, be strong in the Lord. The Lord has got the strength that we all need. He could have thought of David in about 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. It says David was greatly distressed, and people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And that's what kept him going. His outcome was wonderful. Everything worked out for David. Proverbs 24:10 says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. And faint means to lose one's courage. If we lose our courage, adversity means trouble, distress, affliction, tribulation. And strength is figuratively refers to our capacity or our means. So our strength is our capacity or our means. And small actually refers to an adversary, an oppressor, an enemy, narrow, tight, straight, distress. So really you could say, if you lose your courage during a troubling situation, your capacity or means is your oppressor. It's narrow, it's tight. You kind of get, we hear that old saying, you're sort of between a rock and a hard place. Well, now you know how people get there. And so, you know, Paul could have also remembered the days of Joshua when God told him in Joshua 1:7, God said to Josh, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And of course, today the laws are all summed up on loving God and loving our neighbor. God says to Joshua in 1:9, he says, have not I commanded thee, be strong? And he's already told him exactly how to get that strength by meditating, by hiding the word, by observing to do. Be strong and of a good courage. You know, don't faint in the day of adversity. Be strong. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. That word dismayed implies a loss of power to proceed because one is balked by fear. Balk means you're back down. You recoil, you draw back, you hesitate. Well, I think we are the most vulnerable when we think we are strong enough to handle a temptation or a situation all by ourselves. And I really think of Peter. You know, Peter talked a good game. He had some tough talk, even right to the Lord Jesus Christ's face. In Matthew 26, verse 33, it starts, Peter answered and said unto Jesus, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Peter was quick with his tongue to make such a bold vow unto Jesus. And in verse 34, Jesus said unto him, verily, I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. So even after Jesus declared to Peter the outcome of his pumped up emotional outburst, which is not true strength, there's a difference. The crowd roars, that's, you know, that just pumped up emotion. Peter still went on to say in verse 35, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. And then all the other disciples chimed in. They all said the same thing. They backed Peter right up with the same words. And of course, we know that outcome was exactly as Jesus said. And Peter did deny his Lord. And Peter did go on to have a wonderful life. He went on to be free of fear. He went on to stand up and courageously preach a sermon that got 5,000 people born again, or however many thousand it was. So Proverbs 24:5 says, a wise man is strong. Yea, a man of knowledge increases in strength. A man of knowledge. And of course, it's knowledge of the word. When a person gains knowledge of the word of God, their strength increases. And what's more, the word of God then increases in their life. We increase in our knowledge, and that knowledge of the word increases in our lives. More word, more strength. Need strength? More word. And of course, in the confines of desiring it, not in the confines of getting it for just information overload, but to really seek the Lord, his love, his ways, his heart. That's the confines that we're speaking of. In 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man is perishing, we're in corruptible bodies, it's flesh and blood, it's always in a state of decay. Yet the inward man, that Christ in us, is renewed day by day. And we will radiate courage as we increase our strength in the Word of God, certainly by knowing it and by choosing to follow the instruction. Isaiah 40:29 says, he gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, we look to him, we expect him to strengthen us, to fortify us, to care for us. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We are to be strong in the Lord, verse 10, and in the power of his might. And I would like to take just a moment to look at the Greek words for strong and power and might, because there are three different words involved here. We are be strong in the Lord. That word strong is dunamis. It's the potential that we have. We call upon it when we need it. It's power that is in reserve. It's a stored power. So that when you need it, you don't have to say, hey, wait a minute, I need to go get some power here. This is a heavy situation. I need to go to the Lord, and I'm kind of out of power right now, low on it. So, you know, it's the power that is stored. And we do that. He says, be strong in the Lord. Keep the storage full. We leave home in the morning, and probably our biggest concern is, oh my God, my cell phone power is almost gone. Who wants to leave home with no cell power? You know, we all make sure it's 100%. Well, heaven's sake, what about our stored power to walk a life above the ordinary measure, to walk victoriously? So we are to have stored power in the Lord and in the kratos, in the power. And that's power with that impact, because of his might is iskus, which is the power that prevails. So with that stored power and us walking on that, having confidence in the power of his might, things are going to go God's way. And that is very good. We always like it when things go God's way. It's always in our favor. Our abilities will fall short, no matter how overloaded we are on physical, mental talents and long suits. But God, he does not fall short. Rather, he has that eternal prevailing domination. So it is not, I do everything and God does nothing. I've got all these abilities. Nor is it, I do nothing and God does everything. Because we would definitely faint in the day of adversity. So we do our part, God does his part. He provides that kratos power, that impacting power of his prevailing might, dominion, his prevailing dominion. His might works in us as we rely on it to do so. So that is why we are to be strong in the Lord, because as we are, then we have access to the power of his might. When we become weary, and we will all become weary at some point in time, when we are experiencing adversity, we go to the Word and replenish our supply of the Word of God. Ideally, we want to, in adversity, have that stored up so we don't have to stop right then and go to the Word. We're pumped. We're ready to go when adversity strikes. But we certainly can go to the Word, replenish our supply of the Word of God. Like David, we go to God for our encouragement, to encourage ourselves in him, and he will not deny us. So we can read the Word, we can speak in tongues, we can listen to teachings, we can listen to music. Quite personally, I love the words of Christian music, and I will put this caveat in there, when the words are really written by a genuine minister of music, because there are a lot of words that you wonder if they stayed up all night thinking of the same phrase over and over and over. So, you know, those honestly don't do too much for me, the little mantra songs. But there are songs out there that do, by many, many of the ministers of music, who just wake you up on the inside and get you set on your path. So I like to listen to Christian music for enjoyment, but personally, Christian music is like my 911 call for the ambulance. If I am just beat down, if I am just having trouble picking myself up and starting afresh with my thought life, music and the words pick me up and they get me to ER. But then that's not enough, because from there, you can't just live on the words of Christian music. You have to invest in the words of life. And there's no way to get by. Man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So the point is, utilize all of the ways that you enjoy to saturate yourself in the Word of God, because that's what will strengthen you. That's where you will get your storage. That's where you will get your power reserve. It will strengthen you. It will give you strength you need to press through that tight place, to navigate your way through the junkyard. That's what it's going to help you do. So you meditate on the Word day and night. You stay focused. It will bring you good success, just as God has promised. A man of knowledge of the Word of God will increase in strength. A wise man will store up strength. He will store it up. He will access the power of God's might. In the day of adversity, his strength from the Lord is ready. He's in ready mode. He doesn't have to take a second. He doesn't have to think about what am I going to say, what am I going to do, because that Christ in him, it's there. It produces what he needs for that moment. And in the weeks to come, we will look at each piece of the whole armor of God. Paul did not flinch when he said, put it on. There's not too much you can confuse about that instruction. He said, put on the whole armor of God. And I would like you to prepare your mind to look at the armor through the filter of God's love, which for years now, Larry has been instructing us that we want to look at the Old Testament. We want to look at the whole Word of God through the filter of God's love. So there may be some surprises for our understanding about the armor of God. It's an unusual figure of speech. And when comparing things of God to a military situation, but it all happens for a reason. So be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and have a wonderful and gratifying week. Love you all.